So I'm going to give you 6 legal principles. If you remember these, you'll understand everything else I'm going to say today. If you're going to draft your own NFA trust, you need to go through every sentence in the trust and make sure that it doesn't need to be modified to take these into account. Principle number 1 is that there is a list of 9 categories of prohibited persons, which include convicted felons, who are not allowed to possess any kind of firearm or ammunition. Number 2 is that it is illegal for anyone other than the registered owner to possess an NFA firearm, and there are the 6 categories right there. Number 3 is that to legally transfer an NFA firearm, you have to submit an application, undergo a background check, pay a $200 tax for most of these, and then you have to wait until it comes back approved with the tax stamp. So you can't transfer it without going through that step. Number 4 is that if you have an NFA firearm that is owned by a trust, it has to begin as a legally valid trust, and it has to remain valid and in existence during the entire time that it has NFA firearms titled in its name. Number 5 is that because this is a tax law instead of an interstate commerce law, an NFA trust is subject to the definitions in the front of the Internal Revenue Code, and the IRC defines a person to include trusts and business entities. And that's the authority we have to allow trusts and business entities to own NFA firearms through that the general definitions. And then number 6 is your mileage may vary. State laws also can restrict these items, and they may be more or less restrictive. And of course, we have to comply with state and federal law. The definitions of NFA firearms, these are the 6 categories that I talked about earlier. It cites a statute there. Texas has prohibited weapons of its own, which some of these kind of track the NFA list. The interesting thing about that is the legislature, effective September 1st, took silencers or suppressors off the list of prohibited weapons. And they also tried to set up a challenge to say that silencers made in Texas and never taken out of Texas are not subject to the Commerce Clause and therefore not able to be regulated. So there should be a legal challenge coming to say the Commerce Clause actually means what it says. The list of prohibited persons, these are the 9 categories of people who are not allowed to possess any firearms. Felons, fugitives from justice, drug users, persons involuntarily committed to a mental institution or found to be mentally defective, illegal aliens and persons with non-immigrant visas, dishonorable discharges, persons who renounce their citizenship, persons subject to protective orders, and persons who have been convicted of misdemeanor domestic violence. Under federal law, if you're indicted, you can continue to possess the ones you have, but you can't receive any new ones or transport the ones you have. People under 18 need written permission to possess handguns or handgun ammo. People between 18 and 21 can't buy handguns or handgun ammo from a dealer, but they can possess them legally. Now, under the felon in possession law, it's not considered a conviction if it's been expunged, set aside, pardoned, or the rights restored, unless the restoration prohibits the person from possessing guns. So the definition of a conviction depends on state law. And in Texas, a deferred adjudication that is successfully completed is not considered a conviction. And then finally, this is the big one. If you transfer a gun or ammo to a person that you know or have reason to believe is a prohibited person, that's a federal felony also. And of course, all of these are felonies. They don't depend on intent. They're strict liability crimes. And one consequence of a felony is that you're not allowed to possess guns for the rest of your life. This is Form 4 that's used to transfer guns between to a private citizen. There's a different form that's used for probate and for governmental entities to transfer these guns, but ATF needs to have a record of that. The way to acquire an NFA firearm is, if you're going to do a trust, get the trust drafted and signed and clip a $10 bill to it to make it legal, because a trust doesn't exist until it owns something. Go to the seller and choose the firearm. It has to be a specific firearm because the application has to identify it by serial number. Submit the application with the payment, the responsible person questionnaires, photographs, fingerprints, and if there's a trust, a copy of it. Wait until they approve it and return it with a tax stamp. And then at that point, you can pick up your NFA firearm. this process on the average now has taken a little bit less than a year in general. There were a lot of changes that were made in 2016. Basically, if you're a responsible person, which means anybody with the right to possess or control NFA firearms, you have to submit a responsible person questionnaire. It also changed the old requirement of getting your local law enforcement to sign your application. It changed that to just notifying them. It codified ATF's policy of letting personal representatives possess NFA firearms during the term of probate. There's an exemption if you've submitted and had an application approved within the last 2 years and nothing's changed and you want to obtain another NFA firearm, then it shortens the process and you don't have to submit all the information along with it. And of course, one of those was that the book that I mentioned, the first edition came out in December and was sent to press. And then surprise, surprise, the DOJ signed this into the regulations January 3rd. And so about 2 weeks after we sent the first edition of the book to press, we realized it was totally obsolete and we had to write a second edition.